On WYPR in Baltimore, it's Out of the Blocks.
From the minds of Erin Hinken
and Wendell Patrick.
1 hour of radio.
One city block.
Everybody's story.
Everybody's story.
Everybody's story.
This is 600 Deep Dean Road.
We met online. I don't usually tell people that.
Yeah, but we're going to be honest here. We met through OkCupid online.
Right.
San Zhang.
Daniel Kamenitz.
609 Deep Dean Road.
We just got married in China. 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
San's from China. So we, my parents and my aunt and uncle, my brother flew out there. I'm Jewish. My family's Jewish. We got married at the Jewish Museum in Shanghai. And then afterwards, we went to her hometown in Shenyang, which is just a small rural town in the middle of China.
Do you have like a photo album from your wedding?
The wedding?
Oh no, we have one from when we applied for the green
card.
The green card.
I had to put together all these pictures to prove there were actually a couple for the U.S. government.
And this is what the packet looks like. Tell me what you're about to open.
First, I have a photo album. I try to paint the whole picture of our life. We're not just posing for picture, we're actually doing things. Here we are in China. Here we are in somewhere in Virginia. Different seasons, when it snows, when it's summer. I was paranoid because I read too much online. And there are people who, even though they're already married and the government wouldn't believe in them, somehow they don't have enough documents. So I was just trying to put together everything I could think of. This is the first letter Daniel wrote me. And he called me Pingguo, which is apple in Chinese. Pingguo, this Valentine's Day is our 6 month anniversary. Before I met you, I had not yet found my way. You have made me a better person. I'm so grateful for you. 我的老师,我的朋友,我的爱, truly, madly, deeply, Daniel.
So tell me, so you sat down when it came time to have this meeting, right? How did that go?
The person started to ask me questions to confirm all the basic information, and then she asked to see the photo album. I think once she saw that, she didn't feel like she needed more documents, and it was just me pushing documents at her. So it went really easy for us.
Yeah, we were in and out of there in like 10 minutes tops. Yeah. There's an expression in Chinese, I forget how to say it, but do you remember?
千里姻缘一线牵.
It means between two people 1,000 miles away, there is a red ribbon that connects them, which is just, it's like no matter how far apart you are, if you're gonna come together, then there's something that brings you together.
My name is Michael Harmel.
Carrie Snyder, and the address is 631
Deep Dean Road.
Deep Dean Road. So it's 9 o'clock. I am getting ready for work. Just trying to get out the door, which is always really hard when she's awake.
Tell me who you've got here with you.
I have my 4-month-old daughter, Piper Wren. I am now a full-time stay-at-home dad.
So this is our bottle station. You can see the dry rack is just full of bottles, and I pump at work, which is a real pleasure. And they have to be washed every day before work. So everything has to be cleaned, and then I take it to work and dread every pumping session.
Because of the nature of my wife's work, she's got a really great career going. We decided that I would be the one to stay home. And with the cost of daycare, it really was kind of a wash, you know, for my salary. But I was very excited and eager to be the one that got to stay home with her because I thought my wife would want to do it.
I like to work, and we agreed that it would, for my mental health, would make sense for me to go back to work. And that if we could figure out how he could stay home, I mean, what a gift to our kid and to ourselves those first couple of years.
I gotta go, Stinker. I gotta go.
Oh, hey. It's a pretty standard day. We don't have any trips planned, so, you know, we're gonna have a bath. We're gonna have several nice long naps. And hopefully she'll sleep well today because it depends. It depends on if she needs me to hold her or, you know, she's feeling pretty independent. So that changes on a daily basis.
Oh, what's wrong? You don't want to take a nap?
Sometimes I can just put her in the crib and she puts herself to sleep. Sometimes she needs help, and so I'll just pick a couple songs that I know the lyrics to, and I'll butcher that, and usually about two songs will get her to collapse into a deep sleep. So this is the story of your red riding hood, and how it came to meet your leg, and how the muscle, bone, and sinews tangled, and the skin was softly shed.
What do you think she's going to dream about during this nap?
I think right now her dreams are probably, you know, our voices, the sound of words and the melodies that we hum into her ear, and the colors and shapes that she sees every day.
This is the story of your gypsy uncle. You never knew because he was dead. And how his face was carved and ripped with wrinkles in the picture in your head. You remember how you found the key to his hut out in the Pyrenees. But you wanted to keep his secret safe, so you threw the key away. This is the story of your gypsy uncle.
Julianne Franz.
Tommy Jacobs.
625 Deep Dean Road.
I'm a massage therapist and I'm a yoga teacher.
I teach high school students theater design and production for the theater at Carver Center in Towson as part of the Baltimore County Public School System.
I saw Julianne months before I actually met her, and I was on a date actually with someone else, and I saw her walk up to the bar, and I thought I said it in my head, but I actually said it out loud, and I said, "Who is that?"
From the moment of seeing her, and I didn't get a chance to meet her the first time that I saw her, she was pretty unforgettable. So when I was reintroduced to her by a mutual friend, it was, sure, I'd love to meet her.
She said, "Do you want to go out tonight?" And we went to the Charles, the Club Charles, and we had a drink, and we walked back to her car together. And we have been together ever since.
Well, we're officially domestic partners, on paper. We're not married. And in fact, have been through a couple of bouts of separation in the last couple of years of our relationship. And I think it's in there that I have recognized so much of my... There is no other word to describe it but my marriage to her. That I have never strayed from believing that I wanted to be with her.
I call her my boulder, and she hates it when I call her that because it's probably not the most flattering term of endearment. But I think of myself sometimes as like a tornado, and she's always the stable rock that stands still, and she grounds me.
Say your name for me.
Ezra. 625 Deep Dean Road.
Yeah, so we have been lucky enough to make a baby, these two gals, and have made this just magnificent creature in Ezra.
It's a bike.
Yeah, you learning how to ride it?
Yeah. I already know how to ride it.
You need a push to get started?
We decided that we would use a donor, a known donor, a donor that was willing to be known, so that Ezra would have that option when he was 18 to know his other part of his DNA.
Will you tell me about, like, what it's like to shop for half of your child-to-be's DNA?
Well, it's impossible if you don't set some really clear goals. So we had two requirements. The first was that he would be willing to be known to our child, and the second was that he was Jewish. With that, in each of the banks that we looked in, there were about 8 options. So it narrowed a great deal. Now, if we didn't have those parameters, I mean, you could be at it for a really long time. We all look pretty good on paper.
Hey, Ma.
I hope for him that he is confident in who he is, and I hope that he's a good man. I hope that he's a good man, and I hope that he's good to women. I don't think he really has a choice growing up in a two-mom household. I hope that he is proud of his two moms, and that's not something that he has to ever hide. And I hope that, more than anything, I hope that he finds what makes him happy.
You like having two moms?
I do.
If you're just tuning in, you're on 600 Dubdeen Road.
It's Out of the Blocks.
1 hour of radio.
One city block.
Everybody's story.
It's like we're all sort of in like purgatory because it's sort of over.
Claire McCarthy.
Lucy McCarthy.
607 Dubdeen Road.
I am 18. I just graduated Baltimore School for the Arts. I'm moving to Philly in about 3 weeks to go to the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Art.
I'm 15. I turn 16 in a week. I am going into my sophomore year at Baltimore School for the Arts.
Lucy and I are really close, so that's kind of drastic. Like, we spent a lot of time together. It's kind of going to be something to overcome.
When she leaves, I just don't really know what's going to happen here.
I don't know. Being a teenager is the worst. And dealing with a teenager is even worse than that, I think.
Brian McCarthy.
Elizabeth Gething.
607 Deepdene Road. Kids are different before they reach puberty. They have a different type of relationship with them. And it's sometimes hard to remember when that started to change.
Yeah, and it's such a continuum. You can't separate out the infant from the fifth grader, from the high schooler. And you kind of have to a little bit because it's a process of letting go. And if you don't let go to a pretty great degree as they hit the late teen years, problems ensue. You know,
my life when I was between 15 and 18 was very unstructured. My mom had been in a terrible car accident. My father had passed away when I was 11. My stepfather had left. Another fellow was sort of with my mom at the time. He was a recovering alcoholic, struggling. My freedom was pretty, and I was living in the Hamptons in the early 80s. It was a time of, there was a lot of freedom. And in retrospect, I mean, if I thought that my kids were involved in half the stuff that we were getting away with back then, I'd be terrified.
They did the best that they possibly could, and I'm very appreciative. And I feel like I'm going to school with like a really good foundation, and that is kind of reassuring.
What are your words of wisdom for your sister before you head out here?
Take your time with things. Like, you don't need to rush into anything. Like, you have so much time, and rushing into stuff just like it ruins the fun.
And anything you want to say to your sister as she gets ready to head out and leave you as the only kid left in the house?
I think I really just want her to remember that we're here. We're going to be here, and we're going to be stuck in Baltimore if she needs us. And she shouldn't be worried about calling or coming home if she needs to.
Come. Quick, come.
Lynn Cargard, and I live at 613 Deepdean Road with Cricket. Cricket is a three-year-old Doberman. She is my companion, my bedmate, my protector. And she enjoys the walks, she enjoys agility, and she enjoys the neighborhood kids and cats to chase. She is a well-decorated competitor. She's an AKC champion, which is a breed, how she looks. It's sort of the Westminster type thing. You see them going around the ring and how they move. And she also does agility. That's where they go over obstacles, through tunnels, over jumps.
Go, 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 go out, go out. There you go.
You managed to teach this dog how to slalom between these, ski pole things.
They're called weaves, so yes. They're set up in a straight row, and the dog literally goes in, out, through the whole 12 poles. If they skip a pole, they're disqualified. If they don't hit that yellow on that contact, they're disqualified. If they knock a bar, they're disqualified in a jump. Sits. Platz. Good girl. Wait. She is an athlete, and so it's a lot of work on their bodies. They have to be in shape, but they can injure themselves.
It can be expensive. Cricket right now is in rehab for a swollen patella tendon, which is a tendon that goes from the knee. So, you know, she now has to go through rehab so that she can go back and do agility again, hopefully at the end of the month. She has chiropractic adjustments once a month. She hasn't had, but when some of my dogs have been injured in the past, they've gotten acupuncture. They get massages. I don't get any of that stuff. I'm a little jealous. I'm not rich. I'm not poor. But I have to make choices that this is how I want to spend my time and my money. Come here. Quick. Sit. I live alone with her. And actually, I don't live alone because I live with her. So I do it because I have fun. And it keeps me mentally active, physically active. And it keeps me from being lonely. I don't come home to an empty house. Trust me, I can leave the house for 5 minutes all day. And her reaction is exactly the same. Thank God you're home. I'm glad to see you. Let's go for a walk.
Tony, 633 Deep Den Road.
Latoya Willis, 633 Deep Den Road.
Right now, we've been together 17 years, but married for 6.
Yeah, that's not that.
Eli is our miracle baby.
I had Eli at 26 and a half weeks. So, for all the math scholars out there, that's not quite 7 months, but right about then.
It's oopsies.
Eli is rambunctious, and he's a runner. That boy loves to run. When you look at him, you would not think he was in the hospital for 2 months and had to have blood transfusion. You would not think that little boy went through all of that. Thank you, Lord. You would not think. He's healthy, he's strong, he's very smart, and he's rambunctious. Anyone want to watch an extra child? We'll pay you. Nah, I'm messing with you.
Is he daddy's name?
Yeah. Is your daddy do, is he on the radio?
Yeah, he's in the radio.
Well, I have two radio stations, online radio stations. One is Gospel Nation Unlimited. The other one's Inside the Mind. DJ name is Diamond Cuts. And Diamond Cuts fits me because no matter how the light hits, you're going to get something different every time.
What is a Christian? To me, a Christian is one who lives by the Word of God and tries to walk the path that Jesus walked. No, we are not Jesus, but we are righteous through God's eyes.
First of all, what I do is I'll come with the music as far as how I want the tempo, and I lay that down first. Then after I lay that down, I come back, I play it, and then I'll speak over it. Don't write it down. I just go off a feeling. And that's basically how my shows are.
We as Christians need to open up, broaden our horizons.
My thing is, I want to take you on a journey. And even though we're not in the same room, we take this journey together. We're going to rise. We're going to go. We may go around the world.
See, too many people are wearing so many different masks because they don't know how to act. Just be you. Stop trying to be what everybody else wants you to be. No one can live life better than your life. Take it all in. Enjoy it.
You're tuned to Out of the Blocks, 600 Deep Teen Road.
1 hour of radio, one city block, everybody's story. Don't touch that dial.
Don't touch that dial.
It's Out of the Blocks, 600 Deep Teen Road.
From Aaron Henkin and Wendell Patrick.
1 hour of radio, one city block, everybody's story.
I wonder what kind of music I'll have behind this part. Wendell Patrick, 627 Deep Teen Road.
I co-produced this series, Out of the Blocks, and coincidentally, I used to live on this block. You know, it's funny, just sort of looking at the front of the house, which is a front of a house that I looked at repeatedly for the year that I was here, and I'm sure that inside it looks completely different from when I lived there, but in my mind, it's still sort of just stuck the way I remember it. I recorded and completed my first album upstairs in this house.
And now you're scoring the documentary about this block where you used to live.
Yeah, I'm scoring the documentary about the block with the house that had the studio where I made the first album that I ever made. It's a very meta. Is that the phrase people are using these days? Meta.
Elizabeth Fisher, I live at 623 Deep Dean Road.
Jay Fisher, 623 Deep Dean Road.
Well, we have a wonderful Jack Russell, Samson, and we have Molly. She's a Border Collie mix, and they are the love of my life, of course, next to Jay. I worked at a department store in Towson, and Jay worked right across the street, Department of Social Services, and used to walk through there every day. And he saw me, and he walked over to me one day and asked me out.
She had the most radiant smile, so I had to go over and speak to her. I saw her away from her work site one day, and I just had to say something to her, and we started going out. And
we got married 4 months later.
We found a stone, and it was almost perfect. But when you looked at it under the jeweler's microscope, it had one little black dot in it, you could see. It just seemed like a good symbol for our marriage, our life. You have to have a little imperfection.
I have epilepsy, and there's so many different types of seizures out there, from the most severe grandma, which people think when they hear the word seizure, to maybe just like stopping and staring like I do. But of course, that's going to prevent me from driving, because that's probably just as bad as someone being drunk behind the wheel, you know. Even though it might be just a couple seconds, I still can't, I'm not conscious. So this is the bike. And so if I have a seizure and pass out, it doesn't flip.
It's like a recliner chair that has two bike wheels in the front and one in the back.
Right. I'll go this way.
It's been a privilege to be on this journey with Betsy with this. And she's an inspiration, and people that know her generally think that too.
April Newton.
Jason Newton.
600 block of Deep Dean Road. I teach media ethics.
I'm a TV news anchor and reporter at WBAL.
Tell me your love story. How'd you guys meet?
Newsroom love, man. It's newsroom.
I know. Actually, one of the ethical lessons I always tell my students is what a bizarre industry this is, and how you really have to be careful, because in those first jobs, you're just, it's the worst hours, and you're going to share cheap takeout with the people that you work with, and you're going to go to the happy hour with the people that you work. Like, your whole life is just these other people on these weird schedules who also make $2 an hour.
A recipe for romance.
And I said, and then I always pause. I always pause and say, but of course, I ended up marrying my anchor, so take that with a grain of salt.
I just needed more time on TV, so you marry the producer. No.
Tell me what it's like from your perspective and your kids' perspective to get to turn on the TV in the morning and have husband and dad, the kid's dad, like they're kind of in the room with you. Do you guys do that?
For me, we always like to watch it. And to me, we laugh when he does things that he does at home. Because I forget that he's famous. And I always make the joke. It's not even a joke. This is a true thing that's happened. We're out, and I think, why are those people staring? You have no right to stare at our little interracial family. It's just fine. You stop staring at us. And then I'll think, oh, wait, they're not staring. They're not offended by us. They know who he is. Because all of a sudden, we'll see a tweet like, sat next to Jason Newton in the restaurant tonight. And I'll think, oh, that's why you're staring. Right. I just asked him to take out the garbage. We talk pretty openly in our family about what color everybody is and what that might mean. But our kids are pretty little still. But I think we try and be pretty open. I think everybody should have those conversations openly. But particularly a family like ours needs to not pretend like we're not different.
I was asked this question in a school talk once, and somehow I guess they may have seen a picture of us together. So, you know, I was born black, I'm going to die black, too. So, I mean, regardless of who I'm married, like, it's the same life. You marry someone because you love them and because, you've entered this partnership together. It's a project, and you're going to finish this project together. And some people are going to love the project, and some people are going to hate it. I just don't have time to. I got two kids to raise and a job that starts at 3 o'clock in the morning. I think that we're very upfront and honest with each other. And even the boys, I think they're starting to notice, but there's no socioeconomic or political background to what they see. It'll be a discussion.
My name is Jonas Newton. I'm 9.
We're trying to build a fort.
What are you using to build the fort?
Sheets, blankets, and some chairs.
What else needs to happen on the fort? Oh, who's under there?
August.
How old are you?
6.
For full disclosure, let me have you describe the extent of the friendship between my boy and your boys and the amount of time that my son spends over at this house.
We have shared some meals with your son occasionally, but
sometimes on the same day.
I jokingly will call him my third son. And then the day I heard him say that to you, I was like, oh no, listen, man, that's not what I meant. But it's that kind of atmosphere. I would trust you with ours, right? Without a doubt. If I had to rush out for an emergency and you were available, I wouldn't hesitate. And I'm guessing that for all the other parents, the same way.
Right.
In reverse.
We're in my backyard playing on the good tire swing. And this is pretty much what we do all day.
One of my dreams is that someday that Jonas would be my brother-in-law in August, too.
Well, they're kind of like your brothers, because you come over here every day.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's not official, but I think us, and I hope Jonas and August would agree that we're brothers-in-law, but it's not official. It's not official.
It's 1 hour of radio, one city block, everybody's story.
Out of the Block, 600 Deep Dean Road.
He's talking to you. Tell me where we are and what you're about to do.
Daddy, you distract him with the
line. You gotta tell me where we are and what we're about to do.
We're at the frog pond, we're about to catch some frogs. Let's go.
My name is Charlie Hankin. My address is 605 Deep Dean Road. I am 8 3/4.
I got him! Aw, man, I don't got him.
I would describe myself as I'm very athletic. My sport of choice, well, I have a lot of sports of choice, but my number one is soccer because I have a dream to become the best soccer player in the world.
I caught one! I think he peed.
You better wash your hands. What does this sign say next to our frog pond?
Contact with the water should be avoided.
Hankin, 605 Deep Dean Road, 21210. I am 10 years old, and I love to draw and write. I usually write about magic, fantasy, or my life. Well, there's the Diary of Kara Dean. I wrote it in a notebook because I love to write, as I said. It was kind of a mix between fiction and nonfiction. I'm using a pen name, Kara Dean. 4:30 a.m., my bed, May 19th, Tuesday. Good.
morning.
I have the perfect plan. Mirana is in for it along with the other popular girls. All right, you jerkheads, I whisper. It's payback. So here's the plan.
In your story, the popular girls are kind of like the villains, the bad girls?
Yeah, they're Kara's nemesis.
How does Kara Dean's life compare to your life?
Everyone has a bully, right? The popular girls are kind of like my bullies. And Kara Dean loves to write, and so do I, so we have that in common.
How do you handle bullies?
I try not to let them get me down. But I sometimes get irrational with some of them. Like when they leave me out, it doesn't feel good.
What do you think moms and dads of kids should say who are being bullied? What do you think their kids need to hear from them?
Don't let them get you down. Stand up for yourself. And try to be your nicest to them. Because, well, you never know. Maybe if you're really nice to them, they'll be nice to you back. You could be a role model for them.
Jessica Hankin, 605 Deep Dean Road.
What's your biggest fear in your life?
It's not really fear. It's just like a super awareness of how quickly time is passing. That sends a like fearful response through my body of like, we're in our 40s. I've finally just gotten to the point where I really like life for the most part. I mean, I certainly have like crappy moments. I really don't want to go anywhere. I like being on Earth with you.
What's your biggest fear?
My biggest fear? My biggest fear is that I feel like I don't have stories to tell. It seems like other people have stories to tell. And my story is that I just listen to other people's stories.
I asked a 10-year-old friend of mine once, I said, what makes a good story? And she said, the best stories are the ones with the most problems. Margaret Osborne, 611 Deep Dean Road. Well, I don't have a word count goal. I write until my eyes are crossed. 5 mobiles hung from the lost railing. 28 yellowed snowflakes, each the size of a giant cookie, cascaded at odd angles just above our heads. I have a small netbook that I can lie down with the netbook on my stomach and not look at the screen and type like crazy. And I find that very freeing, not looking at the monitor.
You just listen to the sound of the keys, I guess.
I just listen to the words in my head and go with it because I can type pretty fast. Iris laughed, not that mindless shrill that trips from the tip of girls' vocal cords, but a bird song that resonated from the groundswell of her being. You know, I try to write a scene. Might just want to write one scene a day or something until the story is complete. And then I go through with a pair of tweezers and look at every single word to make sure that all the words conform to the same color palette. We're suspended, draped and bound in broken, twisted wires and strings. When our breathing grows quiet, I help her down. Broken snowflakes and the harsh skin of dragon parts pierce our feet.
We've been here about 40 years.
Betsy Nisley.
Roger Nisley, 632 Deep Dean Road, Baltimore, of course.
I taught French for 34 years. I taught school at Herring Run. It was a wing school. And then I moved to City College because they opened it up, of course, to women.
Just as we got married, I needed a job. I applied several newspapers. I went to the Baltimore Afro-American, and they hired me. And it was really exciting times, of course. It was the 60s in Baltimore. It was one of the best jobs I've ever had. Well, generally, I think I was the only white person there at the time. It was really voice of the minority population in Baltimore at that time. One of the first major stories that I went to, it was a police killing. And it was so similar, I hate to say this, the story was so similar to all the things that we're seeing now of police shootings. You know, I can still remember that Sunday morning being out on that block and all the people with their side of the story. Then, of course, there was the police side afterwards, but it was so similar to all the stories that we're seeing now. It was 1965, I believe.
From 600 Deepden Road.
It's Out of the Blocks. More after the break.
Out of the Blocks is made possible with grant funding from the William G. Baker Jr. Memorial Fund and the Cohen Opportunity Fund.
From 600 Deepden Road, it's Out of the Blocks.
A simple concept from the minds of Aaron Hankin and Wendell Patrick. 1 hour of radio, one city block, everybody's story.
Let's see, my story is I've been doing ceramic tile work for 30 years in the Baltimore area. One of the first women to do so, so I'm proud of that. I love people, I'm a people person, so I'm always meeting people, beautifying their homes, and adding my touch. Krista Rampala, 637 Deepden Road.
I'm Alice Rampala, and I'm the mother of Krista Rampala.
My mother just moved in with me.
How is that going? Are you guys getting along well?
We're both hot-tempered, let's put it that way. When I say one word, then my daughter blows up at the other end.
Well, you know, it's like mothers and daughters. It can be great, and it can be not so great.
What do you think is the moment, the most defining moment that made you who you are as a person?
I'm 58, so coming about of myself and being a gay lesbian woman was never an easy thing, and I think it made me who I am today. A proud, gay, homeowner on Deepden.
What was it like for you as Krista's mom when she got older and sort of came into her own as a person and with her sexual identity, like as a lesbian?
It was kind of tough for me because I wasn't used to anything like that. It was a hard time till we got through it, and I'm proud of her. That's all I can say. I mean, you have one child, and that child turns out to be gay, so you're not very happy as a mother that to find that out. But the person that she is a free bird. She likes to do what she wants to do, and that's it.
You know, at the end of the day, I think you come around and you love your children for who they are.
Basically, she's a wonderful person.
I love her. I love her with all my heart.
I have tried to put mainly native plants here, switchgrasses and goldenrods and baptisia, and then this is called a cup plant. Jennifer Sherlock Hilton and 635 Deepden Road. From the room, upstairs room of my daughter, Sylvie, she can see this is the trumpet vine, and she overlooks her window. And from the kitchen, you have these big trumpets, and the hummingbirds come, right? And you can get this close-up view of them. It's really amazing. They're like little jewels, and they move so fast. And once in a while, they'll land on one of these branches, and you get to see them still, which is something. We might see one if we sit here. I have just started my own landscape business, which is centering on native plants. It's called Blue Stem Gardens, and it's really good work. I love it.
Oh, hummingbird. You see it? It's just, there he goes, right there.
There he goes.
I've never seen live hummingbirds in my life until the last couple of months. And I found pairs of them hovering at my front windows. And I decided they were here to visit me. Except that later when I went outside and discovered an enormous growth of honeysuckle between those two windows, I allowed myself for a moment to realize that they were really here visiting the honeysuckle. But I never quite let go of the fact that they might also be here visiting me. And I've enjoyed kind of telling that tale and looking at life just that way.
I am Sherry Hash McLean. I live at 640 Deepden Road in Baltimore. I work for Marshall Craft Associates. It's an architecture firm, and this represents now my 45th year in this industry of serving architects as they serve others for the built environment. I don't know how this relates to the rest of the population, but I love my work. It has loved me back in countless ways that sometimes I think perhaps people have not. I have not endeavored to be single, but I really enjoy my time alone because it's like reading a book with your mind. And that's what I do. I just explore thoughts and ideas completely and thoroughly without interruption. There's a reason for everything, and I think even maybe my reason for solitude and an internalized lifestyle might be to save my neighbors from an enormous amount of energy that just never, never, never ends.
My name is Janice J. Dix, and I live at 615 Deep Dean Road. In 1987, I had a friend of mine that used to live up on the corner that took me to church. And I found Jesus. I received the Holy Spirit, and I never felt anything like that before. And he took alcohol away from me, and tobacco, and Valium. And he just completely changed my life, and I just can't imagine being without him. I received his Holy Spirit, and that was like I could see inside of me. I went someplace else there for a while. It was like I felt something come in me, and it was pulling out everything that was hurtful, everything that was painful, and everything that was sinful. And I started speaking in another language that I was really kind of scared of and didn't understand. But it was just evidence of the fact that I had received his Spirit. Ooh, I'm feeling it. I'm really feeling it just talking about it. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Accept Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior and believe on him so that you can have eternal life.
I'm Laura Kinsey, and I live at 636 Deep Dean.
And I'm Steve Kinsey, and I'm also at 636 Deep Dean. I was born in this house, not literally born in the house, but my parents lived here, brought me home from the hospital to this house where I have lived pretty much my whole life, with the exception of about 8 years when I moved to New Orleans, met my wife, brought her home, and have been here back in the house that I grew up in.
We were both working in retail shops right on the riverfront in the French Quarter, and Steve was really attracted to my assistant manager.
She wasn't there one day, and so I ended up talking to Laura, and the rest is history.
When I went to college, I studied vocal music. I went on to Peabody and got my graduate performance diploma in vocal performance. And when I walked across the stage to get that diploma, I remember smiling so broadly that my face hurt. I just felt like I had flown to the moon. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by.
Hello, I'm Mike, and I'm at Deep Dean Road 622.
I'm Carolyn. I'm also at 622. I'm Mike's wife. We have a 22-year-old who's still living with us.
Justin DuPont, 622 Deep Dean Road.
He's very shy, and he's very kind, very kind.
I don't really know how to describe myself, but I guess I am quiet and want to say things in few words.
I kind of thought we'd be empty nesters by now. But instead, we're perpetual parents. And we have twins who are 15. They came to us from outside the family, but We're all one family now. We're blended together.
Hi, my name is Christian.
I'm Nick Von Schnell.
I'm 14.
14 years old, going on 15, going to high school at Friends.
And I was at Odyssey, and now I'm going to 9th grade at Gemesee.
Their father and Mike were high school buddies.
And he is a very good friend of mine. We both went to Baltimore Polytechnic. But unfortunately, he died from cancer. Now, he wanted me to be the guardian for his boys, and I said, yeah, you know, I'd be honored.
So that's how we ended up on this block.
My dad was diagnosed with cancer. He was in and out of the hospital so frequently until he was eventually just dumped into a hospice. And then, a few months afterwards, he died. And then, my life began going into a further down spiral. My mom was, you know, she had type 1 diabetes, and she would constantly forget to take her insulin or, you know, take too much insulin or something, and she would, you know, go to tantrum-like moments where her actions were basically unreadable. And then I'm not sure what happened or, right, we're all probably just assuming that's like something diabetic, but she died in a car crash.
You know, who would have thought that both parents would be gone? I remember on the sad day when the mother was declared dead, and the pastor came, and she asked if we would take them. I turned to Carol and said, can we take them? And Carol said, yeah. She put two thumbs up. Yeah, we'll take them.
Well, they became like every other mother and father, like my biological ones. Nice, caring, loving, and wanting to do the best for us.
It's been a really rocky road. I do struggle with frustration and depression and the negative emotions, but that's just the human experience.
They're still getting over it. It gets, you know, the pain is less and less every year. And, you know, we do things like go to the graveyard. We don't want to forget. You want not to have the pain, but you want to keep the memories. So the boys are always afraid they're going to forget.
I was mostly nervous. When I started here, and I was trying to be the perfect child. After maybe a couple months, I got used to living here, and I started to relax more.
You like the piano?
Yes, I like it a lot for its very interesting tones. It's called Faraway Bells. Just a small practice piece.
You've been listening to Out of the Blocks.
From the minds of radio producer Aaron Hinken
and the music producer Wendell Patrick.
You can podcast this series and check out photos and videos online at
WYPR.org/out of the blocks.
Aaron and Wendell want to thank every one of us who took a leap of faith and shared our stories and our lives.
For 88.1 WYPR.
Your NPR news station.
This is 600 Deep Dean Road, signing off.
Signing off.
Signing off.
Over and out.